Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Lucy Freeman and Jeff Thomas.
Is it actually Ambridge under a sleeping bag today?
Not only is it under a sleeping bag, Lucy, I'm a bit nervous because I'm holding the mic like I'm a sports journalist, but I'm a bit worried that I'm getting too close to it.
No, you sound fine. You don't sound
poppy.
Are
you sure it's not too peaky?
No.
It's like I'm commentating on the Archers Olympics and Sheila's about to do a big jump.
You can hear me
popping because I haven't got my pop shield on.
Oh, yes. Just avoid saying anything that's got a P in it.
Everything with a P. I'm just going to say with a B.
So we'll talk about the post office, shall we?
The toast office.
That's fine.
The terrible fire at the post office.
The toast box set on fire.
The boost box. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, am I? Oh, look! I can see how red I am. Red I am on the levels. Okay. Oh. Sorry. Don't mind me. Before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap on what happened this week in Ambridge.
This week was brought to you by the big cushion and the phrase. Dioch, ma'am. We began the week with Russ considering a 90s night. Just to be clear, though, Russ, that is a night of music from the 90s, not a night for people who behave as if they are 90. Back at home, Caitlin was just as jubilantly awful as we were expecting.
Yay.
I pictured her in a pinny with arms crossed firmly over a vast bazoom, like a Welsh Les Dawson. They both spoke Welsh in front of Tom, thus rendering him even more useless than normal. Natasha and her mother wanted the babies to sleep, so spent the whole week yelling at each other in front of them. And once they had gone to sleep, sang lullabies to them to wake them up again. The Welsh, a curious breed. Annoying as Caitlin is, she didn't deserve to eat recycled cardboard for breakfast at Pat and Tony's. That is just cruel and unusual punishment, and I hope we hear lots and lots of her correcting Pat about things. Yeah. It was all kicking off at the post office. We were plunged dramatically into an extraordinary storyline that blew up and subsided in the space of 1 week. It was a good old ye olde Archers storyline, conveniently involving two silents, Derek Fletcher and Jean Harvey, and the roles of Laurel and Hardy were taken this time by Clary and Susan. It was quite like the good old days of homeless hunting with Cagney and Flaky clip-clopping around Borchester, making everything 10 times worse. It served many plotical purposes, this storyline. It enabled Susan to remind us all she was a postmistress and what a rigorous taskmaster the post office is. As Susan said, "You make one tiny mistake sheltering an armed robber and they're all up in arms." It also allowed us to acknowledge the fact that George Grundy is a revolting little turd and that even his grandparents heartily dislike him. George set the post box alight. I think we can all agree on that. Harassment is on the case. So in short, George is home and dry. Even finding a bottle of lighter fluid, a box of matches and George wearing a big hat that said, "I did it," won't mean anything at all to harassment. What the post box being alight also did was enable us to hear from lots of characters in absentia. It was remarkable how all of a sudden people we haven't heard from in a bit suddenly appeared to be sending letters to all and sundry, thus allowing Susan to mention them all. There was Kenton's parking ticket, Joy Horville sending money to her granddaughter. I was bracing myself for a ransom note from Lewis's kidnappers at Lower Loxley. However, the most bizarre part of the whole postman twat storyline was why in the world Clary and Susan cared so much about whether or not Ian's pizzas were accepted by the WI. I was truly at a loss to understand this. Susan's friendship with Ian, that he's only referred to every 6 months or so, and then only for plotical reasons, is a slender reed on which to base an entire storyline that might end up with Susan losing her job and George going to prison for interfering with the post. The way they were talking, it was like the whole village was facing Armageddon unless Jean Harvey was taken down. I'm surprised they stopped at anonymous letters and didn't just go for shooting her in the head and then driving off Lakey Hill like Thelma and Louise. Over at Lower Loxley, Freddy was demonstrating his ability to speak to the lower orders by greeting Brad and Chelsea with, "Hello, Horribins!" thus removing the tedious chore of having to remember their names. Come to think of it, Horribin is a bit of a mouthful, so maybe he could just say, "Hello, lower orders!" Brad has been a big hit with his seemingly supernatural ability to add up in his head. Bloody hell, he's just good at sums. He's not Rain Man. Alice and Chris have disappointed me greatly by breaking the cardinal rule of will they, won't they storylines by addressing it directly and saying, no, they won't. This is a huge faux pas, but it will stop Harriet predicting it every week for the next 12 years. It wasn't just Harriet, though. The whole village was betting on Alice and Chris in rather an unsavoury fashion. I wondered if Alistair had had a tenner on it too, thus restarting his addiction and removing it from Alice. In line with the rule of one, as pointed out by Andrew last week, only one person can have a condition in the village at any one time. So, thank you to Georgie for setting fire to the postbox and allowing us to remember how long it is since we've heard from Joy or Kenton. Thank you to Chris for ending a storyline that had the potential to go on for decades of uncertainty. And thank you, Russ, for reminding us all how unbelievably boring 90s music was. The end.
It was like the beginnings of a cozy crime drama, wasn't it?
It was. It just came out of nowhere. It was just...
I hadn't even clocked that. That's how taken in by the Archers I am. I hadn't even clocked the fact that why does it matter?
They were doing it in the first place.
I mean, it's not your problem, Susan. However much you enjoy having dinner at Ian's, it's just not a big deal. And
I was thinking, have they started supplying them with mozzarella? Have they sort of sneaked in some buffalo and not told us, and they're supplying Ian with tons of mozzarella for his pizzas? But there's absolutely no reason.
There was a reference to it a couple of weeks ago when Susan was basically saying, now Kira wasn't coming home after school or something, so she's got nothing to do. And then she did make a reference to her new pet project being saving Adam and Ian's pizza van from the wrath of the WI.
But why?
Because it's just her new, it's the bone she's got now.
What, just interfering?
Yeah, but I didn't mind it though. I don't care, because when it involves Susan and Clary, I'm happy for them to do whatever they want, as long as we get a bit of bickering between the two
Susan
of them, which
and Clary
is always
would
good.
Be an excellent crime fighting duo.
They
wouldn't
would,
they?
But that's the thing. That's why this could run. Because Georgie is a horrible little shite.
Do you think he's going to start blackmailing Susan now?
I think this is not the end of it. Mm. I mean, unless it was all just a big storyline just to show us how horrible Georgie is. Mm. But I think this, there might be something, because I thought he was going to blackmail Susan, didn't you? When he was sort of being...
Yeah, well, that's what I think is going to happen. I think he's going to continue.
But
that.
Also, I feel like Susan hasn't got the wool pulled over her eyes, but Clary has still a bit. Or Clary's at least pretending
Eddie
that everything's okay.
Eddie is more
okay.
aware of...
Yeah,
he
yeah.
said, because he can sometimes be a bit...
Yeah.
And then stopped.
Yeah.
How do you explain away the fact that your grandson is the Antichrist? I mean, it is quite difficult, isn't it?
But he is. But Clary was, let's give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh no. But then Susan was like frightened of him, wasn't she? It sounded like.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
But then, you know, there is.
But then there needs to be a new baddie, doesn't there, in the
village? Yeah, because we've got rid of Clive Horribin. There was lovable. Eddie takes the role of lovable rogue, where basically heart in right place but keen to make quick buck if available. But then you have an out and out baddie like Clive, and I think you're right.
I think Eddie should really be having bets on when is George going to prison.
Yeah, quite soon. I hope
it'll be in a couple of years, won't it?
Yeah.
Although Freddie could give him some friendly advice on how to talk to chaps in prison. How to talk to chaps behind bars.
Hello, prisoners, you say.
How to get along swimmingly with your roomie while sharing a potty.
And a shower. Yes, Freddy.
I hated the Freddy Chelsea Brad scene.
I hated
it. I don't know why I hated it. I just found it all really cringesome. I don't know why.
I think Freddy is...
Because
Freddy's
he's not
early
supposed...
20s, isn't he?
Yeah, so when he's being the boss, it doesn't sound right,
It
I
doesn't
think.
Sound... No, because
It's not
we...
really consistent with his character,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, his sort of... his life script is a hapless bungler who kind of cheats yeah. his way out of trouble, not the responsible... manager.
It's more like he would have fucked up the cash register.
Yeah. And I don't like Chelsea's attitude to Brad because I feel very sorry for Brad. I don't like Tracy's attitude to anybody. I mean, Chelsea. I'm not sure I like Chelsea's attitude to anybody.
I didn't like either of their attitudes. I thought if Chelsea's behavior, Chelsea was so, it's annoying because Chelsea is a fun and funny character, but when she's being really immature,
yeah.
Like, I mean, doing that in front of customers. Yeah. You'd be like, get out! You're not working. No. You're so rude. It's
my sister was walking past the radio when that bit was playing, and she just said she needs firing as she walked past because she ran a cafe and hired lots and lots and lots of Chelseas and. She said...
She needs firing.
Yeah, there was, you know, just this... She said, that age, just a nightmare to work with.
Yeah, and the thing is, they're not going to change. So
no.
if they're not going to... It's not like Tracy, who had a chance at Grey Gables and then actually became really good at her job.
Mm.
Chelsea is... Even if it's Oliver, I'm sorry, there's no excuse for talking to people, anyone like that. And not talking to your brother like that in front of everyone.
Yeah.
But even Brad was like, yeah, Chelsea. It was all like, God, give me a break from these tiresome teenagers.
Just the stroppiness. And also the kind of, because they are grateful for the job, because they do genuinely need it. They're not like overprivileged kids that are just doing it for a bit of ASOS money.
No, that's
they really need the money. So they would be conscious of that and modify their behaviour.
I think Freddie could have just said, Chelsea, that's your last warning.
And, yeah.
You know, you don't want to find yourself out of a job, love.
Yeah.
But the Brad thing, maybe they... Yeah, I mean, I know why they were doing that scene, but it was... maybe there was another way to show that he's Carol Vorderman. I mean, we sort of all knew anyway, didn't we? Because he's clearly excellent at maths.
It was just...
I know what I could do. I could add it up in my head.
In my brain, because I've got a special sort of brain what does adding really, really good.
I can add 45, add 45, add 2. It's 92.
Is it?
I don't know. Yeah, it is easy. Yeah, because I'm really good at adding up. Also, as someone on Twitter said, adding up isn't the same as maths.
No.
You could have a really, really good adding up brain, couldn't you? And then be rubbish at logistics.
Yeah, maths makes me cry, so I'm not even talking about it. Makes my stomach clench, so I'm not.
It's really good for you, though. You should be doing more maths as you
don't.
Get into your second half of your life, Lucy. Into your second coming. You should be doing adding up every day.
I'd rather be doing the second coming, not the maths.
What's 27 add 40?
I don't know.
Oh, for God's sake. Of course you know what
67.
That is.
67.
Yeah, oh, God, come on. If there's a naught at the end of one of the numbers, it's easy.
No, but honestly...
No, it's when it's things like 27 add 57, because then you've got to carry a 10 or, you know.
That's why they didn't... That's why I told you. That's why they took me off the cupcake stand at the... primary
at
school.
At the PTA.
Yeah, because it was complicated. And I said I can know because they were it was.
Did they not give you a calculator?
No, it was 65p a cupcake.
Oh, for
and I
God's
just charged
sake.
A pound or 50p because I that's
Quite
the only
rightly.
Way I could add it up.
Quite
and they
rightly.
Told me off, and I got taken off, and I had to do the washing up of all the tea things.
Oh, that's awful! They bradded you.
They did.
No,
brad
they
me.
Tracy'd you is what they did.
To be honest, I did deserve bradding because I really was. I'm just not. It's just not my area of expertise.
Can I just say though, your method was a cupcake shouldn't be at PTA. It should be a donation. Give what you can give.
Yes.
Or a pound or 50p.
So if it was a mother I didn't like, I charged a pound, and if it was a mother I did like, I charged 50p, and then I.
Then
got
there was a big meeting that went on the other side of the playground.
Yes.
Oh my God.
There's lots of pointing. Yeah.
Horrible. But you should have had Brad there, or a kid with a brain like Brad. But also, he's a bit inconsistent, I feel. Like, he was sort of... Sometimes he's not the underdog, what's it? Subservient to Chelsea. And then sometimes he's not. You know,
I think that's as your children get older, you'll see that more and more and more.
Oh, they got personality.
There's a kind of
swatches.
Yeah, my children are the same. I've got a 16-year-old boy and a 17-year-old boy and a 19-year-old girl. And
is one into fashion and one's into maths?
Yes, one plays with Barbies still, and the other one goes. They will swap roles. There are times when William will be picked on by Tilly, and then it completely reverses, and he'll suddenly, and it just depends what they're talking about and who feels most confident in that situation.
That's interesting.
So when they're little, the dynamic tends to stay the same, but when they get to teenagers, it's all over the shop.
Interesting. I mean, I sort of have a twinge of sympathy for Chelsea, because when everyone's going, oh my God, your brother's so clever.
Yeah.
Obviously it's shit when you're just into men, when you're not into Mensa or whatever.
Yes, Mensa. I saw that. I was thinking, what? Was he thinking of Mensana in Corpore Sano or something? I don't know what he was.
Even Chelsea was like, what are you talking about? You mean Mensa?
Mensa. But I think, I think as well, because Chelsea is really good at her skills lie in an area that is A, associated with females, and therefore B, completely overlooked as anything remotely valuable, even though fashion is an incredibly valuable part of the economic sector. And it just gets, oh no, it's just girl stuff. So it's just dismissed.
Except that she has a confidence that not many young people have.
That's true.
Which if it was just a little bit tempered somewhat. would set her on a very, very good path.
Yes.
But I was wondering, I think a village like Hanbridge would have, like my village has had in the country, Lucy, a trust, which basically, so I think probably lots of villages
there
have.
There was one in mine as well. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's if a child in the village needs more educational help or wants to, you know, help.
I got a book allowance from mine to go to university.
Yeah, exactly. It's to help people go to university and it's for education, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you'd think, but then maybe Oliver will set one up, is what I was thinking.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, because he's obviously going to help Brad, isn't he? No brainer.
Yes.
But maybe he does it in a sort of anonymous way by setting up a trust for bright kids.
Good thinking, Batman. Yeah. I like that idea.
Yeah. Thanks. Mm. I'll write into Ambridge.
Yes.
To suggest it. Linda can be in charge, can't she? Because she'd be good at doling out the money.
You know, when
it's basically like a PTA for the village, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't want to preempt anybody's demise, obviously, but when Linda does kind of shuffle off.
In about 40, 75 years, yeah.
Yes. I imagine that she's a lot of fibre. She'll keep going forever. Is Kirsty the new Linda?
No, because Kirsty's too down to earth.
Who's going to take over that the village organiser though?
Fallon could have a she could sort of change, couldn't she? Or Emma? I don't know, because I don't know. Maybe it's a generational thing as well. Maybe you can't really have a. I think you probably could. I mean, we had a sort of sniffy Linda in our. But you know, like those sort of women exist, don't they?
Yes. Oh, God,
in every village.
Well, they have to, because otherwise nothing gets done. They are extremely annoying, but extremely necessary.
Maybe
and everyone
Fallon
spends the whole time
turn
talking
into
around
that person.
Yeah. Yes, she's good at bees, and she gets bees in her bonnet, doesn't she? Did you like the singing, the Welsh singing?
I loved it. I loved the singing. It just made me laugh that. It was really sweet, I thought. But it also made me laugh in that I don't know anyone who's ever who's ever been so relaxed to sort of like sing in beautiful harmonies to their children.
Yes.
But it was very nice because I loved Caitlin. I mean, has Caitlin only been in it a week? I feel like she's now been around for, I feel like we know her really well.
Yes, yes, I could probably recognise her.
But maybe
in the lineup,
this is the first week she's been in it, isn't it?
Yeah.
She's brilliant. Brilliant. Yeah.
Just stand there, come on in, and all that, and then Nortash.
I wanted to listen back because there were so many nice moments that she played.
Yeah.
And it was like she you knew she was there even without her opening her mouth or speaking. Or she just was so brilliant. She was such
She radiates authority. She radiates authority as an actress and as a character, I think.
And so full bodied and funny perfectly timed.
And when she was chatting to Kirsty, and Kirsty said, "Oh, you're rubbing each other up," and she says, "Oh no, we're always like this," you know. And if you do know families like that that are just at high, my friend in mental health calls it high expressed. Her family's like that. She's Irish, and she said just everything operates at high expressed emotion the whole time.
Yeah,
everything
exactly.
Is. Whether or not someone's forgotten to put enough milk in someone's tea or someone's died, the level of emotion and drama is exactly the same. And she's married a man who comes from a very, very quiet Midlands family where even the clocks don't chime because it makes everybody jump. So the idea that, you know, when he goes to her house, he just... he's terrified. He keeps looking at Anne because he's not sure whether he's thinking, is this actually a row or is this not? Should I, you know, at what point should I be worried?
And, you know. No, but that's the thing, is it's like all the shouting, but it's not angry shouting. It's just has to be
noisy. And
it's just a reaction, isn't it? And it's totally fine.
Yeah.
But no, but that the singing really made me laugh when Tom sort of came in and then Kayla was like, "Why don't you join in, Tom?" And he was like, I'm all right, actually. Come on, I'll give you the note. And then I just thought, after like 3 weeks, Natasha would just be like, "Mum, I can't do another harmony. Just leave me." The pressure of having to sing in harmony while breastfeeding must be too much.
And also, they were singing to them when they were asleep.
Loudly.
Yeah. In between shouting.
But that's what I like about that's what I love about the fourth wall that comes down when any characters start singing, and because they're obviously fully trained actors.
Yes.
They're absolutely brilliant singers.
Yeah.
But
whereas the rest
was...
of us would be going all out of key and then going da 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 da.
Give me that note again.
Words.
Give me was it
Oh no, I've gone into ABBA now. I'm in ABBA now. I can't.
Hi there. But oh no, hang on. I've lost it. Oh, hang on, you take Nova. I need to get this right.
Is that washing done yet?
I know everyone hates Tom, but I felt really sorry for him this week when he was excluded.
I did. And also there was an element, I thought, of deliberate exclusion.
Yeah.
But on their part, which I didn't like.
Well,
you can't blame somebody for not being involved or not helping enough if you don't let them.
No, but I don't think they even did. I feel like Caitlin was like, "I don't, you know, guys, leave it all to me. Tom, you go and, you know, you guys go and rest." Natasha was just sort of just breastfeeding, wasn't she? What else can she do, really? And the thing is, I think as well for dads, when the woman is breastfeeding, there's not, apart from like washing, there's not a lot you can do. And then if there's a mum there, because the hard work comes from the baby's waking up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And being tired. And and the only way to shut them up is by feeding them.
Yeah.
Which, you know, if you're not bottle feeding, the mum does it all. So, and I think a lot of dads do feel a bit sort of like, I really, really want to help, but I can't help.
Yeah.
And now I feel guilty and now she resents me. And, you know, and I feel like they don't really get enough. Also, it's the mum doing the hard work. All the attention's on the mum, you know,
quite
rightly.
I think in some countries they stagger parental leave.
Well, Tom should have done.
Yeah, so that the mother just... the father doesn't use his up. He then does like when they're 6 months old. So that's when they need entertaining and taking out and doing things. So they're not just clamped to your boob the whole time.
That's what we did for our last couple, because it's pointless. Mm. Like taking those first few weeks when the baby's basically all they do is need feeding and screaming and you're just really tired. But they're not doing anything. So it's better for the dad to take time off when they're sort of moving around and become more physically challenging, and the dad can then get involved, and or maybe they're on the bottle by then, and you know,
most of the dads are on the bloody bottle.
The mums.
Everybody is. We all are. Drinking
Tom, everything. Pass my gin. I've got another harmony I want to sing with Mum. Mum? I know what it was. The scene I really wanted to listen back to because it made me laugh so much was the spinach omelette one.
Oh, yeah. Tom, do you want a spinach omelette?
That was like the funniest line to end a scene I've heard in The Archers for ages. Just the way she said, do you want... It was so passive aggressive, wasn't it?
It was like, Tom. Or not at the end of it. That's...
I thought that was totally
genius. And also,
genius.
How can you hide spinach? You can't hide spinach. It's bright sodden green. You're doing it in eggs. Of course she's going to see the spinach in it.
It was just so funny. No, because again, I'd be like Natasha. It's like, I it's too claustrophobic to have someone doing everything for you. You want to make your own breakfast. Yeah. And you, however tired you are, you don't. It's claustrophobic and cloying having someone... make you lie down.
Horror, yeah.
And I felt sad that she didn't do the baby's bath. Mm. I would have, even though it was, you know, sort of comedic and over the top, and it was, for me, it felt really true to life, this Caitlin stuff.
Yeah.
And the dynamic.
And the rows that started when she was four are still carrying on now.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You never let me, I didn't want to wear my wellies. But you made me, you know, and you're still, there's that seething resentment about having to wear wellies when you're four. And
that's
you go back and have the same rows over and over again.
It's so babyish, isn't it? But it always leads back to some stupid thing.
And all the sentences start with,
my life would have been so much better if you just let me choose my own shoes.
And all the sentence, you argue in that way that you're never supposed to argue, which is you always do da-da-da-da-da. I never do blah-blah-blah-blah-blah, you know. And it's just completely pointless arguing. It's nothing constructive about it at all. It's just a total waste of time. But you just get trapped in that dynamic and that's it. You're stuck.
It was brilliant. But so I hope there's going to be a lot more content with the Caitlin and Pat.
I was really disappointed when she said,
yeah,
because I thought Caitlin was going to go home. When she was talking to Kirsty, she said, I'm not sure how much more of it I can take. And I thought, oh, no, don't go back to wherever it is.
Yeah.
Stay and annoy Pat. And then the joy when I found out she was living. Tony is going to go up the wall.
Oh, it's just going to be absolutely brilliant. Caitlin and Pat.
Yeah.
And Pat trying to keep her cool.
Yes.
But that's going to be brilliant.
The passive aggression is going to go off the scale, isn't it?
Oh, it's going to be great. Tony's just going to revert to being a child. Maybe we'll hear from Joy because, you know,
Tony and Joy have a little... Because he tends to rush off to Joy, doesn't he? To Mummy Joy when Mummy Pat's not been very nice to him.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That'll be quite interesting, actually.
Yes.
We will see. Yeah, but good. I just wanted to shout out the... I don't know who casts the Archers. I think it's the producers, isn't it? But... When they cast for comedy characters, they always get it right, I think.
Yeah.
They're so good at... That's their best...
When they cast for professional characters, like midwives and doctors and whatever, that's just like, first name. Do they begin with A? Right, they're the first one. That's fine. Okay, they'll do.
Can they speak? They can. Okay, let's...
Can they read and speak? Actually, that's not that important.
I think for the sake of that lovely actor that played the forensic accountant, they need to bring him back.
Yeah.
Because he was so happy.
He was so keen
and lovely on Twitter. I really hope they bring him back.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen, is it? Unless someone else's business hits the skids in a fairly dramatic fashion.
Maybe Lily will meet up with him in Felpham.
Yes, what is... Because I don't understand.
I think that's creepy, what Russ did. Don't you? She was like, I love you so much. I was like, it's creepy. Let Lily go and get her own flat in Felbersham.
Yeah.
She's not going to get a university experience with you hanging around.
No, well,
her.
I was thinking you're just replicating exactly what happened in Manchester.
Exactly. That was the problem. Mm. That's why she had to leave.
Yeah.
It's weird. Why did, like...
But also, why bring Saul back?
Yeah.
Or was that just to say that Lily is actually 100% committed to Russ?
I think they brought him back because to like kill that storyline, basically. Oh, unless he pops back up. But then also I thought, don't leave so that we don't hear you, because I really like Russ and I like Lily.
Mm.
And it'd be awful if they were written out for a bit.
And I was wondering where he was going with that, I think Chelsea fancies you business.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really don't want them to leave.
We've discussed that before because I think there's always been a bit of chemistry between them, hasn't there? And then they've deliberately written them into scenes together lately.
And Russ has definitely got that kind of Eliza Doolittle, I will teach the poor peasant girl, hasn't he?
But then would that be sort of making his character gross again? Because we've all sort of forgotten about his...
I haven't. Every time he opens his mouth, I go... Rrrr.
Yeah, but in...
Partly because every single exchange they have, every single one, there is a mention of how old he is. Every time.
Yes. There's a reference.
It's either, this is your generation's music.
It's a bit like me and you, Lucy, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Harriet, yes.
What, the 80s? What sort of music was that? No, you're right, though, that it's always referenced. But in a teasing and like, oh, Money Penny, you know, all that sort of yuckiness is a bit gross. But I do really like Russ, and especially when he's not with Lily.
I hate him, but I like the character.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't want them to leave because I like the dynamic between Lily and Freddie as well.
Because I thought, I wonder if it's because Katie Redford, who plays Lily, she's super busy being an actress and a writer. Yeah, she's very she's had a lot of success lately. Oh. So maybe she needs a break. But I don't know because she seems, I don't know. Well, anyway, let's wait and see, Lucy.
Okay.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yes. Let's do some emails.
Okay.
Hold the line, caller.
Yeah. And as I hold my mic, how's it going with my handheld?
It's very good. I like
it. Is it a bit I feel like it's weird, actually. Yeah, I don't know.
No, I'm pretending I'm.
You're just
Navratilova being interviewed on.
I feel like I'm doing a proper interview. That's it. Sort of like Saturday morning children's TV interview.
Yes,
Like I've got a big branded thing around the mic.
Yes.
Saying Ambridge on the couch.
This is from Owen Kiffin, who says, public service announcement for listeners who are water buffalo curious. There's a farm with a big herd on the Oxford Canal at Napton, near where we used to be moored. I can confirm the burgers and sausages are lovely, as is the ice cream, and they are magnificent-looking beasts, he says.
Ooh, yes. The ice cream.
I know.
Buffalo ice cream, hey?
I like the way he leapt from magnificent-looking beasts to burgers and sausages, so obviously that's how he's seeing them. He's just seeing them as walking burgers and sausages. But ice cream, the buffalo ice cream, that does sound yummy.
Creamy and rich, full of buffalo.
Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? Buffalo.
Get your buffalo ice cream. Where was it again?
Napton.
From Napton.
Napton. You can't really do that in a sexy
way.
Nah,
it just doesn't sound very sexy. Yeah. Napton. Go Napton. Down to Napton for your buffalo ice cream.
I'm going up Napton. Do you want anything?
Some buffalo ice cream would be nice.
This is Laurie Jones. Stuck in this timeline, which really sucks. A couple of comments before the week gets going, so these will be outdated by the time you record, and that's what I'm used to. One, Tracy is being an asshole. I like her a lot. Who doesn't? But for fuck's sake, she needs to give Oliver a break.
Yeah.
If he hadn't kept his business afloat with his own funds as long as he could, maybe she'd have a right to be upset. but she's an idiot. And business is business, and maybe when she becomes manager at the chicken factory and turns into a jerk like Gemma, she'll understand Oliver's very difficult decision and have some compassion.
Yeah.
Oliver is just a silly old man at this point, and he knows it. He needs to go to the Himalayas and chill. Two, no way would Jill back down on the sweets as fast as she did. I guarantee you she was sneaking treats to not so little Rosie, and when Rosie looks back on her childhood, sweets with Jill will be her best memory. Go, Jill! Yes. I agree. She's kind of, I don't think grannies just go, oh, yes, all right, sorry, I will be told what to do by a 24-year-old. No. They go, yes, well, I think you're fine, darling, that I've had lots of children. I know what I'm doing, so yeah. Get knotted. Ray Beddo says, after several months of watching CBeebies with my grandson, I have only just realised that Tamsin Gregg is the narrator of Love Monster. There's been one or two of those in Ambridge. All the best, Ray Beddo. Thank you, Ray.
Thanks. I auditioned for Pink Bunny, didn't get it.
Interesting. What is Love Monster? It doesn't sound like something that should be on CBeebies.
Love
anyway.
Monster. It's actually really good.
Is it?
It's got my friend Darren in it. Yeah. It's good. It's about a love monster.
Is it? I'd never guess.
A sort of cutie monster thing.
Aww.
And yeah, it's all like not moral. It's CBeebies, yes, educative, yes, feelings, yes, and etc.
Yes. Ah, Freddie's mum from Freddie's Snacks has messaged us.
Oh, yay, Laurie, hi.
She says, thank you so, so much for featuring us. I do listen, and we've had orders already, yay, thanks, ooh, to you guys.
Yay.
I definitely need to send some to little Rosie. You're the best, Laurie. Thank you, Laurie.
But also, if you're on Instagram, go to Laurie's Instagram account, which is, I think it's at Freddie's Farm. You'll find it if you just type Freddie's Farm. It's really cool. I mean, she's like so glamorous and stunning and got loads of excellent content up there. It's definitely worth a follow.
Okay.
She's a lot less Natasha than we predicted, Lucy. She's more Victoria Beckham than Natasha.
You mean successful? Yes, okay.
And glamorous and beautiful.
Yes.
Well, I'm sure Natasha is equally beautiful. Anyway.
Jane Stevenson, who I don't know whether she's finished painting or decorating. She hasn't said. I think maybe it's like the fourth bridge and she's got to the top of the house and she started again at the bottom. Probably in the cellar.
She's in some sort of living nightmare of paint.
Paint. She says, as I was listening, she's headed this, thank goodness you are here. As I was listening to Tuesday's Tom moaning, Tony not listening, then finally listening, Letterbox on Fire episode, I kept thinking, thank goodness for Ambridge on the couch. Do you mind me having a bullet-pointed vent? You can have a bullet-plated vent. It's absolutely fine. Tom, for God's sake, I know you lost a baby and so we'll cut you some slack, but still stop being needy.
Aww.
Needing to be needed is still needy. Babies need cuddles and love. Do that bit.
Yeah, scriptwriters, do that bit.
I love you, but you use that talking over the person with a problem trope too often. Having said that, once... excuse me.
Oh, all right, Lucy.
Once Tony did listen to Tom, the scene was lovely. Tony is a nice dad. Yes,
yeah, that
is.
Was a really nice scene, I thought, between Tony and Tom. Really good, really... Tony becomes so much less annoying when he's being sort of genuine and kindly.
When he's not with Pat.
Yeah, basically.
When he's with Pat, he just turns into a little boy with mummy again.
Yeah, but actually he's a really good dad, isn't he? He's a good dad.
She said, thinking about all that, I lost concentration and finished the episode thinking, how did a pencil sharpener with tape on it start a fire?
That was funny.
I had
that
to listen
funny.
Again to realise the fire was not caused by the homemade letter extraction device. The post office scenes were a joy, pure archers.
Thank you both.
I love your podcast very much. Postcard, I just said. I was thinking about them.
I totally agree. I know people would have found all that annoying, but the bits when Clary was trying to make a pencil sharpener device to get the letter was just lovely, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That'd be so stupid, Clary.
When she said, got to bend round the corner, innit?
they were pure, proper archers' joy.
You do occasionally find yourself in situations. Well, I find myself in situations like that more often than I care.
Oh, are you trying to set light to a postbox?
No, but situations where you think no one's going to believe this. This is just ridiculous. When you find yourself doing something really, really peculiar, but at the time when you look back on it, you think, "What the hell was I thinking?" But at the time, you just feel like you've got no choice but to do this completely stupid thing.
But also, what it was. Basically, the equivalent of sending a WhatsApp, but for radio. It wouldn't have had the same drama, would it, if she just sent a WhatsApp and then couldn't delete it, and then Jean had read it, and this was.
And also because it would have had her name on it.
Yeah, but that's that's the equivalent of our everyday folk dilemma.
Yeah,
like we would have just sent a WhatsApp.
Yeah,
I mean, I haven't sent a blackmail letter for a while, but I mean, I get.
I loved it when Clary immediately went to what with bits cut out of the newspaper. That's Bugsy Malone, Clary. We don't need to do it like that.
Spidery writing. Get that invisible ink.
Just below the skips.
You get one free with the Sea Babies magazine. Sneaky little Georgie just eavesdropping in the back. Oh, what I didn't understand with the postbox, though, what I found very hard to understand was, you know when they were trying to get it out? Mm. What, do you think they were standing at the front of the postbox, i.e. on the pavement? Or did they have like a sneaky back passage?
No, they were standing on the front.
So people will have been walking past and wondering what they were doing.
Well, it's better than wondering what on earth Clary and Susan were doing fiddling around with the back passage.
But they haven't factored in they might have been witnessed.
Yes.
Harrison might have a witness.
Oh, Harrison! This could run and run. Both hands. Don't
also,
worry.
I mean, come on, Harrison. There's more important things to do.
Yes.
Then I'm sure.
But it is a big deal. Tampering with the mail is a.
Oh, is it?
It's a prosecutory offence. It's really serious.
I suppose especially if you've got 30 quid in there.
Mm.
It's theft, isn't it?
Yeah. Excuse me one second, I need to let the dog in because he's shouting at me on the other side
Hello,
of the door.
Hello, Cooper.
Hold on one second.
Hello, Cooper. I could sing Love Monster. It's got a great theme tune, Love Monster, actually, if you want to give it a go on CBeebies. It's got a great cast as well, all-star cast. I think Sarah Hadland is the pink bunny, which is...
Got to be quiet.
She's a very good actor, so fair enough.
There Sorry. Is.
Sorry, I'm just talking about Love Monster.
Right, this is from Olivia van der Werf.
Hiya.
Said, you bring a lot of joy, so please keep up very good work. Thank you very much. I have just started to feel sorry for Sausage Boy, and then he started to use his babies to promote his business. And although that's probably fine, because it's him and so predictable, I went off him again. And then when he said he'd use the photo that Natasha had already objected to because it was taken by her mum when she wasn't really prepared and not wearing makeup and definitely not one she'll want the world to see, I laughed like a drain. I am now waiting with eager anticipation for the episode where Natasha sees the photo and erupts. I loathe George, but fortunately he'll be in prison soon. A plot prediction. You will remember my prediction about Stella and Ruth. Well, it hasn't not happened yet, so I'm taking that as a win. So for my next fantastically accurate plot prediction, possibly longer term than Stella and Ruth, I reckon that one day Chelsea and Freddie will get together.
Oh, that's a great prediction.
Yeah.
That is a because that also might tangle up things with Russ a bit and... Oh, yes. Yes. I like this. I like the way that's headed.
And do you remember when Justin and Lillian moved out because of their kitchen being redone? And we were talking about how awful it is having your kitchen being redone while you're still in it. Olivia and her wife are having their kitchen smashed about. And she said, I played my wife the bit of your podcast where you did an impression of Justin annoying the builders while refusing to move out, as my wife is refusing to move out too. I found it hilarious. My wife, not so much. Ah, sorry, wife. Sorry, Olivia's wife.
It's tricky, isn't it? Because, you know, you obviously save a lot of money if you don't move out. But you might save your marriage if you do move out. It's hard.
It just depends how much you value your sanity and
your partner.
And your partner, the people around you, and your mental health in general for about the subsequent decade. Anyway, Pat McClelland says, hello, Lucy, Harriet and Jeff. Although in my heart you will always be Mr. Newbie. The only way I can express how much I hate most of the current storylines is to rant in capital letters. These are weird, difficult and scary times. I need Sewing Bee, Baking Bee and Pottery Bee, unlimited episodes of Ghosts and Freddie Flintoff being kind to lads who think cricket is daft. What I do not need is 13 minutes a day of workplace bullying, rural poverty and George Grundy. What on earth went on in these script meetings? Gemma bullying Tracy was just the beginning. Now we have George and Chelsea bullying dear hopeless Brad, Linda and Lily bullying Ardil, Caitlin criticising every move of her poor knackered postnatal daughter, and of course there's Brian and Justin. It's hard to recall the days when I used to listen to The Archers for fun. One thing particularly getting up my nose is the Ambridge money tree, available only to the middle classes. Adam and Ian managed to maintain their comfortable lifestyle on a farmhand's wages. Yes, I thought that. And now Russ is planning to buy a house despite Lily giving up work to return to uni.
Yes, I did. I wondered about that because I was thinking, well, why didn't they, if they can afford a house?
Yes, why haven't they?
Yeah, especially because she's been working at the kitchen. So,
yeah. And how much does the hell does he get paid to run exhibitions in an art gallery that no one comes to?
But that's the thing. They can't have it unless he's always had savings, in which case, why didn't they move out months ago?
Well, they stayed to look after Elizabeth, didn't they?
Because he was just like, yeah, we can move out. Actually, we could even buy a house. Yeah. And I was like, what? Okay.
Let's buy Gay Grables, maybe, or Home Farm. But they did stay to look after Lizzie, didn't they, when she was poorly?
Yeah, they did, to be fair. Yeah.
In contrast, she says, Pap says, the storyline plunged Tracy and her family into poverty within days of Gay Grable's closing. She would have had her final month's salary, a month in lieu of notice, plus a redundancy payment, but the script went the full Ken Loach before Ardil had even finished boarding up the windows. I am fast reaching the point where I take a break from The Archers and just listen to Ambridge on the Couch. I'll start listening again in September, when Jazza catches a windfall from the money tree, courtesy of our new Prime Minister's passion for pork markets. Thanks to the three of you for the much-needed laughs, Pat. Pat, I felt very, very similar, I think.
Did you?
Because it was so fast. They went from... I know that Tracy obviously wasn't earning much as a receptionist, but she would have had a little bit from when she left Gay Grables, when it shut. And I think she said something about she used that money on the car because her car broke down, didn't it?
Yeah.
But it was so rapid.
Yeah, it was.
That kind of plunge into... Yeah, like she said, the full Ken Loach. Before, you know, there really wasn't... It was like the day after it started. It felt a bit hurried, that storyline. It wasn't a gradual decline. It was just a plummet.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas you would have thought there would have been a bit of... But then, yeah. It's a tricky one, isn't it? Because, I think we discussed it before, didn't we? Because I think I felt like that as well. I was like, surely she... That money from... Oliver might have kept her going, but then there was the car and the and then obviously her brother moved out, so
but it wasn't that we understand that people don't have savings and stuff, and if you're subsistence and you're literally living from one paycheck to the next, but she would have had a bit, she would have had enough to have covered the rent at least for the next month, I think. Oh, I don't know. Why, we don't even know how much money she has or anything, do we?
She's never told us, Lucy.
I know! They
she
keep
might have
these
been on
things from
£6.50 an hour at Grey Gables, for all we know.
She can't, because that's below minimum wage.
Well, yeah, but Oliver might actually turn out to be a real rat. And actually, he was paying them way below
Oliver's
minimum wage.
Oliver's the grey man! Yeah. They're all slaves!
There could be a terrible twist.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
You love a twist, don't you?
But we wouldn't like that. But I don't mind the George being horrible to the extent of, teasing his grannies is okay. It's just whether all that becomes really nasty, because
when you were spot on when you said she sounded frightened of him.
Yeah, I don't want Susan to be stressed by him, or I don't want anything nasty like that to happen. I don't mind a bit of, because that's the thing, isn't it? The cozy crime drama has really, really become super popular now, hasn't it? Because basically we can't cope with anything too stressful.
Well, when life is now more awful than anything fiction can produce.
Yeah, exactly.
Then you want fiction to produce something that's a blessed relief, don't you?
Exactly. And The Archers should always be a blessed relief. Mm. But you have to have a bit of tension in there, otherwise it's... Yeah. Boring, but I don't mind. The more Corrie, from the old days, Corrie is the better, as far as I'm concerned. But then again, I know that not everybody likes that. Not everybody loves the.
Well, look how many people the show picked up.
Yeah, with Helen and Rob.
Yeah, it picked up more with Helen and Rob than it lost.
Yeah. But that was a great slow burn story. But maybe Tracy and the Chicken Factory will be a slow burner. Who knows? Because we haven't heard. We haven't been back
Jenny
to
Murray's
the Chicken
Factory.
Jenny
Murray's not going to be on BBC Breakfast News talking about Tracy and the Chicken Factory. It's like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Tracy and the Chicken Factory.
You never know. Anyway, it would be awful because Tracy's not that sort of character.
No.
We don't like things happening to our comedy characters.
Yes. Yes. What happened to... Oh, no, they did buy her a spa day, didn't they?
Yeah, but then we didn't hear about... Like, after all that build-up, we didn't actually hear her opening the present and going, oh, you shouldn't have wasted your money on this. Or being super great, or being... Yeah.
I did like that because I love the way Chelsea kept going, spa day, spa day. Something about the way she said it that made me laugh every time she did.
But when Oliver... or somebody asked her about the weekend, and so what, and she was like, "Oh yeah, we did a picnic on the hill," and then she sort of stopped, or she sounded cross about it. I remember thinking, "Oh, it sounds like it didn't quite go to plan," but then that went nowhere. So I think I was reading too much into it.
Also,
this is nothing to do with anything, but do you like the way that Seren is called Seren, even by Tom, and probably by everyone in the whole village now, Seren.
Other people aren't doing that. Even Natasha isn't calling her that.
Well, Tom is calling her.
I know. Tom's doing Duolingo like I am. Natasha's not bothering, so she's just...
Is Tom really overcompensating for not being well?
Yes.
And he's Natasha couldn't give a shit.
Yeah. He's going to be singing Saucepan Back by the time.
Come on now, Seren. Nova, come on. Oh, I didn't notice that Natasha even wasn't doing that.
No.
I'm going to listen out because he was definitely rolling his R.
It's like those people that when I was in Zurich, it always used to make the expats laugh because the people that came out, the people that are newly come to Zurich would, their pronunciation of Swiss German words would be so over the top because they were frantically trying to immerse themselves in the culture as fast as they could to not feel isolated. So they would even Swiss Germanify words that weren't Swiss German at all. They, you know, it was just this. It's that, it's the zeal of the newly converted, isn't it? It's just desperate to blend in and just look like you're trying and all that.
Oh yeah, like my friend who just lives down the road from me, and he talks just like me, but then he'll say, oh yeah, and I've got a fantastic recipe that uses this, it just gets a real aroma of chorizo. And he always says chorizo. He doesn't say chorizo. And it's like, but you're talking to me. I'm not Spanish. I don't care if you anglicise it. It just really makes me laugh. It's like people who put a French accent on rosé.
Yeah, Ralph Lauren. David Sedaris does a brilliant thing about that, about news readers, and when they say, because I went to see him, and I was with Susan Ray, the continuity lady, and she was giggling away like mad because he said, you can tell the ones that are really really trying when they say Nicaragua. And she said, they have to have a run up at it. You know, they'd have a deep breath and then go, Nicaragua.
Oh, it's awful. I don't think news readers get enough credit for their pronunciation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because especially the Radio 4 guys. Yeah. I mean, they come out with like Russian words and...
Well, it was that... So, when that bloody Icelandic volcano...
my God. Oh my God.
Can we not just keep calling it the Icelandic volcano rather than making them go...
It's so hard. And they don't get a second shot at it.
I know.
They have to do it in one take.
Yeah. Well, they have it written out phonetically and practice. But I would just, I'd stuff up every other word because I'd know that one was coming.
Yeah, but that's the thing. When you know there's a hard word coming, because occasionally, you know, if I do like audio guides and they have foreign artists in them or something, and you know it's coming, and you've practiced, but you know it's coming, you can't do it, because your brain is so stressed.
I think
newsreaders just have nerves of steel.
Yes, my dad used to tell me a lovely story, which is probably entirely apocryphal, about announcer at a Albert Hall having to announce the Fly to the Bumblebee by Rimsky-Korsakov. And he was absolutely, he couldn't say Rimsky-Korsakov. He'd have Rimsky-Korsakov. And he was in a total state. It hung over him the whole weekend that he was going to have to announce this. So he just went insane practicing. And he stood up at the vital moment and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to introduce a work by the great Rimsky-Korsakov entitled The Bum of the Flightleboo." Anyway, enough of the dad jokes. And now...
Oh, Lucy, surely that's why people listen.
Mum jokes. We're doing mum jokes.
We're basically the equivalent of a post office sketch, aren't we, in The Archers?
Yes, we are. Good for us. And now let's go over to Radio Borsetshire.
Radio Borsetshire.
Colin, I need advice. People keep asking me who I want to be Prime Minister and I never know what to say. It is like when the taxi men ask me which football team I support and I say the blue ones. I need a good answer. Do I want Rishi Sunak or Lynn Toss? Which one most style? Let me look at the pictures. Oh, why is she wear headscarf in tank? Oof, he has got the big ears, hasn't he? He must have AirPods the size of shower head. Oh, but look at shoe. Prada loafer, they are very style. Okay, he win then, good. I am glad now I am politic aware. Which side is he on? Which? Oh, hello, welcome to Radio Borsetshire with me, Fabrice of Felpersham, looking like I have just stepped out of the salon, because I have. Today you can hear another broadcast outside that I did in Ambridge. Colin, please press the buttoning. I hope you can hear, as it is very noise. I am at Children's Playground in Ambridge. It must be very ancient, because it was built by slaves like the pyramids, I have been told. So that is very exciting. I am here to talk to the parents about the next generation of villagers. What is that boy doing? Hello? Who is parent of that small one, please? He seemed to be... Is he welding? Oh no, it is Xander. Oh, that is fine then. Yoo-hoo, Xander! How are you? Are your daddies here? Oh, they are in the bull. How did you get here then? Oh, you drove. Oh, okay. Oh, look, here is a girl pushing the little ones on the swing. That is nice. Oh, now off the swing. Oh, it is Parpy, I think. Hello, Mrs. Grundy. You have had lots of children all related to each other's fathers, which is very confused, but you seem to be quite calm about it all. How do you manage the parenting?
Well, for me, parenting is all about boundaries. They learn it from you, so you have to demonstrate good boundaries yourself. It's up to you to teach them that when they see a boundary, they need to wheedle and cajole their way around it. For example, Poppy has her grandma Clary doing all kinds of things for her, don't you, Poppy? Piggybacks to school, she never has to eat a vegetable, and grandma Clary does all her homework. She got a smiley face sticker for Clary's scale model of the Taj Mahal and Haribo last week, didn't you, love?
Oh, here are two baby ones, a balded one and a ginger one. Oh, that is rock and the hard place, isn't it? They have both got screw-up cross little faces. And you must be their mother, I can tell, because you have got screw-up cross little face too. Do you have any parenting tips?
Yes. Now, I really don't have time for this, but all I would say is if you find out you're pregnant, the second that bloody little line shows up on the stick thing, don't even wait to wash the wee off your hands. Just leave. Leave the country if necessary. But the most important thing is that you do the whole birth thing on your own. No in-laws, no parents, and most of all, no bloody husbands. Got it? none. Unless you enjoy absolutely losing your sodding mind.
Oh, I see. Yes. Natasha, I would just like to say, and please do not throw that bit of Lego at me, that I would like to offer you free Botox whenever you want. Your tension line seemed to be your entire face now. Okay, I am backing away now, backing away. Oh, look, Irni seems to be a nice little one. And she is here with grandmother. Grandparents are often used as unpaid childcare by modern parents, and the grandparents don't mind a bit, apparently, and are very happy to get slipped disc crouching on the floor. And what is this little lady's name?
This is Martha Febreze. She's very bright for her age. She's my Christopher's little girl. And she's got a mother too, obviously, but she's not as important. It was vital to me that I was heavily involved in bringing up Martha, because quite frankly, I'm the only one that knows what I'm doing. And obviously, I'm very used to it. I've had years of bathing, changing and wiping bottoms. And that was just my nail. Oh, excuse me. I think Martha's angry. She loves her bottle.
Oh, like her mummy. That is nice. It is very happy scene with all running about and... Oh no. That is Rosie on the slide. Be careful, children! Oh no, now I thought that might happen. Do anyone have any contact details for the slave? That slide as Snap. It was nice seeing the small ones, but they are not very style and often a bit sticky. If you are trying to deal with small ones in summer holidays, my suggestion is do not give yourself hard time, but lock yourself in airing cupboard with a bottle of Prosecco. Back in Eurovisia, my mother could not do this as she had to herd the goat with me strapped to her back, and that was not easy as I was a big boy for 13. Anyway, bye-bye and keep calm.
Radio Borsetshire.
Thank you, Febreze. If you would like to visit patreon.com and look up Ambridge on the Couch, you can support us at any subscription level you feel like. This week, we have many people to thank. We have to thank... Do you want to do it in funny voices?
Yeah, I've got to do it in the voice of an Archer's character, and you have to guess who it is, okay?
Play along at home, listeners.
Listeners, play along at home, okay? Who am I? Can't do it now. Victoria.
Natasha.
Well, obviously. Nail.
Susan.
Lindsay.
Kirsty.
Louise.
Linda.
I can't think. Rebecca.
Jolene.
Oh, good. Who can I do next? Candida.
Lillian.
Oh, well done.
For their Patreonship. You're very kind, all of you.
Thank you, Victoria, Neil, Lindsay, Louise, Rebecca and Candida.
You can find us on Facebook, on Twitter at OnAmbridge. Febreze is at Fabulous Febreze, or you can email us at AmbridgeOnTheCouch@gmail.com. And, oh, Matt Rodriguez Payne has given us a really good dancey one. We've got a bossa nova one.
Oh, yes, baby. Somebody on Twitter said it would be great. Could Matt, I mean, poor old Matt, now we're just throwing
things at him. Oh, Bernard Cribbins thing. Yes.
Maybe for next week.
Yeah. Well, poor Matt's got COVID for the second time.
Oh, no, Matt.
Yes.
Oh,
he is feeling really, really shitey.
Oh, no.
But he's still, he said, he's now sending us feverish verbal diarrhea. So it's quite, he sent us lots of questions in the email because he's not feeling very well. So he obviously just, when he was in, it's a temperature of 193, so he thought he'd message us.
Blimey!
No, I'm joking. He hasn't really. He'd be dead, wouldn't
he? I don't know.
That's hotter than the surface of the sun. Did Harriet mean that Serenova reminded her of Casanova? Yes.
Yes.
A Google search of Serra Nova tells us this is the name of a cloud provider, perhaps some connection to spiritual hummus, he says. He would love you to honour him with an award of some kind.
Great.
He said, thank you, Steve Parrott, for this kind suggestion. And Matt is currently shopping around for a fascinator. He said he loves the ideas of listeners voting for their favourite versions of Barrett Green. I will try to put them into my SoundCloud when I remember to, he says. And yes, he says, after we mentioned Bossa Nova, it led me to naturally arrange the Barrett Green theme in a Bossa Nova style.
So this one is dedicated to Seren, yes. Nova. Seren. And now for Seren Nova.
So that's what the news readers have to do, isn't it?
Shall I play it?
There was an incident in Seren Nova this afternoon. Yes, please play. Bossing that bossa nova.
That reminded me irresistibly, for some reason, of the beginning of the music to Only Fools and Horses when it started. I've got no idea why.
Oh, that's a good one for Matt to do,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Let's let him recover, though, poor lamb.
Yeah. Oh, get well soon, Matt. Oh, you poor thing. But while you're in bed doing nothing.
I know. You might as well.
Just write that musical that we're after.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Matt. Get cracking on that. Let us know.
If anyone wants to re-listen to all Matt's greatest hits, he is on SoundCloud. So you could go to SoundCloud, type his name in, which is Matt Rodriguez Payne, and you'll find him there on all his hits.
Is it the Wombles theme tune people wanted him to do for Bernard Cribbins?
He's done the Wombles theme tune.
No, he hasn't. He's done the Clangers or something like that.
I don't know what they wanted exactly, but I guess a sort of...
A
Bernard
tribute.
Cribbins has done so many things.
He has. And he did...
And
Right,
do you think he
Fred
was ever in the Archers?
No.
Bernard Cribbins. Oh, because you'd think he
it
would
was the,
be
considering
the sort
that
of...
the man worked from teens to 93... Not being in the Archers. I don't think he's ever been in Casualty either, which is...
As a national treasure, that's quite something to not have been in the Archers.
Yeah, that's almost more of a commendation than being in it. But
they haven't mentioned who's going to open the Fate. Well, they can't have Bernard Cribbins anymore, can they?
No. Was he on the shortlist? I don't know.
Okay. No. It's still Stefan Packlunch, I think.
Okay.
And also, can I just put my prediction in?
Mm-hmm.
Chris and Amy are going to get back together.
Because
Alice
yes.
said, did you hear it when she went, when Chris said, oh, I'd like Alan to do a blessing. And Alice said, and there's somebody else. There's another special person we need to ask, Chris. And then they got interrupted by Eddie. And I was
did
like,
she?
Yeah, she did. Yeah. She said, there's someone else we need to ask, Chris. And then after he'd mentioned Alan, and then.
Is it not Shula?
Well, why would it be like a sort of. A sort of secret, not a secrety thing, but she didn't finish what she was saying.
Okay.
If it was Shula, I mean,
yeah.
Amy, okay. and that she's going to come back, and then Chris and her are going to get together.
But Amy's got someone else now, hasn't she?
I know, but I think she's going to come back, and I
Just trust me on this one, guys. Okay. I'm not saying I've got any special insight. I've literally got none. But I really, really think this is going to happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if it doesn't, we'll just forget I ever said
it. I'll go back and edit it out retrospectively so we can just pretend you never contemplated the idea for a second.
No, but why would Alice have said that?
I didn't clock that at all.
Yeah, it's because I listened twice to that bit. All right, cheers, Lucy.
Okay, right.
Thanks, Matt. That was super cool.
Ta-ra, everybody. Have a lovely week.
Ta-ra.